This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place, whether you're in the mood for a theatrical holiday romance, a dance of dreamers seeking a new life, or a milestone celebration of a cultural arts center. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Southern Rep Theatre continues its run of Miss Bennet, Christmas at Pemberley. This imagined sequel to Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice by playwrights Laura Gunderson and Margot Melkin is a holiday romance that follows Austen's beloved characters on a new journey. Southern Rep's co-director Jeffrey Gunshel is here with actress Helen Jacks. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
This is the Southern premiere of this work, which has been on a rolling tour around the country. What was the attraction, Jeffrey, for Southern Rep?
A love of Austen. And a couple of years ago, Aimé and I co-directed Pride and Prejudice, so we had a relationship with those characters. Though this show, you don't need to know Pride and Prejudice to come and see it and enjoy it and understand what's going on. There's powerful women that are strong and smart in the context of that just seems to be timely, actually. I think it's a wonderful way to celebrate Christmas instead of Scrooge or Nutcracker. It's something new and different.
This picks up where Pride and Prejudice left off.
It's 2 years later. It's 1822, 4 days before Christmas, and we're going to be looking at the Bennet sisters. Most of them are now married, but it really focuses on Mary, who's the middle child, who's a little bit more scientific and nerdy and loves piano and loves books and thinking.
Helen, you play Mary Bennet.
That's right.
What attracted you to the role?
I think what I loved about her is she's caught in this circumstance of the time period of not having the ability to do what she wants, but she has so much ambition and so much life inside of her. And she's not afraid to be smart, and she's not afraid to put people in their place when they're wrong, and she's not afraid to say, you know, I want to live in this world in a new way. And so I think that's what really attracted me to her, because usually in Austen's world, we have these great, strong women, but they just don't have the opportunity to really live their fullest lives. And I think the playwrights really give her, Mary, a chance to do that with all of the beautiful wit and, you know, charm that there is in an Austen story.
So what do you bring to the role, and how do you get into character?
I would definitely classify myself as a lady nerd, so I really identify with Mary in that way. I love reading and music. I don't know if I'm as witty in real life, which is fun to play. I'm like, oh, this is what it would be like if I could really quip some things off. Getting into character is a lot about connecting with my castmates and about the dialect and the movement work, which was part of the rehearsal process because, you know, as 21st century people, we're very casual with the way that we move. And in this world, it's so much about what your shoulders are doing and how far you are from someone and what eye contact you make. And then the dialect is really important because that's the vessel for the language. And the language is really kind of key in this play, is like this tennis match between all of the characters of like, who's going to say what and where, when are you going to serve and when are you really hitting the ball back to somebody? Even though Mary is at the center of it, it is an ensemble piece. And so part of that, you know, prep is just checking in with my castmates and us always, you know, kind of locking in and grounding ourselves in each other.
It's a delightful Christmas romp, Austen style.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
And there are some themes, some life lessons. What's being explored?
There's a lot of really important things that it's asking and exploring, but it's wrapped up in this beautiful comedic bow of joy.
Mm-hmm. Life, love, freedom, choice, independence, women, women's roles. Those are overarching things that are probably never going to go away.
Yeah.
No. I don't know if we get to the meaning of life, but everything leading up to that.
I think love in so many ways too, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's love for someone else.
Love of sisters.
Love of sisters.
Love of family.
And love of yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
And really
sure.
Coming to terms with who you are and saying, who I am, flaws and all, is fine, is perfect, is what makes me the person that I am. I like that too.
And what's your biggest dilemma in the play?
I think her biggest dilemma is when she meets this other person who can match her in her wit and can match her in her ambition and her love of nature and the world is, oh my goodness, I may have feelings and I don't really know what to do with them. I think it catches her by surprise.
I hear Jane Austen will be there in spirit with a personal celebration.
Yes.
It's so wonderful that the play lines up with her birthday. And so on her birthday, we'll have a little pre-show celebration on December 16th. So you can come and celebrate Austen's birthday and then see the show.
Also on Fridays, FYI, there are free performances before. It's at 6:45. There's like a half an hour, and each week is somebody different. So through the 23rd, if it's a Friday night, you could just come to the Marquee Theater outside, and there will be a free performance for a half an hour. And hopefully then roll into seeing the show.
And the playwrights, can you tell us a little bit about them? I hear Laura Gunderson is having a most productive year.
Yes, she is now, according to the numbers, is the most produced playwright besides Shakespeare, and I think that's pretty phenomenal.
Wow.
It's interesting because Gunderson is a playwright and Margot was a lit manager, and I think they're a great combination together. Laura brings a lot of heart and wit, and then I think Margot reins it in and kind of helps give her the structure that makes it so true to Austen. And between the two of them, I think it's like they're a perfect match to bring everything that we love about this play together. They have this great interview where they talk about how they made the play, and they were driving on their way to some festival just to watch some plays, and they said, what does the American theater need right now? And they both almost instantaneously at the same time said, a new Christmas play. And they wrote it all out on like Starbucks napkins. And they really wanted to put this kind of unexpected heroine at the center.
What is the message you hope to send that will last audiences long after the holiday season?
I hope audiences take away the joy and the love that's so present in the script.
Being in the audience has cracked me up because it's almost sometimes like interactive. Like something will happen, you'll be like, oh no. My favorite was like that moment that Mary says something to another character and kind of witty and snarky. And I heard this woman say to her husband, oh, I like her. And I just cracked up and it was like people get really involved in it. The farce of it all.
Southern Rep co-director Jeffrey Gunshel and actress Helen Jacks, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you
so much.
Silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling,
ring-a-ling,
hear them ring,
ting-a-ling.
Soon it will be Christmas Day.
Southern Rep Theater continues its season with Miss Bennett, Christmas at Pemberley. Performances are running now through December 23rd at Loyola University's Marquette Hall, 6363 St. Charles Avenue. More info is available online at southernrep.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Mélange Dance Company has a focus on family this holiday season. Its latest work is an exploration of those seeking the American dream. It's called Journey of Dreamers, a work conceived by artistic director and choreographer Monica Ordonez, who joins us with Mélange's executive director and dancer, Alexis Lambert. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So, Monica, let's begin with you. What was the inspiration for this work?
It's funny, but I had a few requests. People know that I like to choreograph about historical topics. So my mom actually threw out Ellis Island. And as soon as I started doing research about all the people who came here and why they came here and just seeing the pictures, the faces of these people, I was connected and drawn to it.
How do you tell their story through dance?
First, I find the right music that connects with that story and connecting the right movement. And through my research, I have found specific people who have stories, and I've integrated text with the audio to help tell that truth.
And Alexa, you are one of the dancers.
Yes.
What's it like for you portraying this story?
It's very emotional for me. My character is one that's escaping the Holocaust, and dancing with my fellow male dancer who's a friend, and our stories intertwine and connect is very emotional. The music is emotional. And also, my great-great-grandpa did not escape the Holocaust, but escaped the pogroms of Russia, where his village was being burned because he was Jewish, and he came to the States. So I connect emotionally to the music and the dancing and dancing with my friend, and then also because my family has a parallel kind of history.
So you have a connection.
Yes. A lot of us do. Monica's parents are immigrants.
Cuban. Came through Miami. Maybe not Ellis Island, but yeah.
And my great-grandpa came from Houston, so came through the Texas, not Ellis Island. And another one of our dancers, her parents, one's from Italy and one's from Iran.
When I was reading my book, there was this German woman that I read about, and she said, but I was the enemy alien in Ellis Island. She had experience of feeling isolated because she was German and people associated her or her family specifically with Nazis. And so I thought that was really interesting and something I wanted to add to the show. And we brought in a new dancer this season, and I thought she would be right for the part. And it turns out that she's German and that her family had a similar experience, and her family lives near this woman's family's house. So it ended up having a lot of truth. There is a moment in the show that kind of connects, you know, you're leaving it all behind to go somewhere new, but then you're held in this room with people you don't know and different backgrounds. So it's a moment in the show where you look at each other. Anyone could be an enemy alien to everyone, but they find this moment of connection and their reason for coming to America.
How many dancers are involved in this production and how many stories are told?
11 dancers. There are several stories. Some of them are more featured and some of them are as simple as someone didn't know how to eat a banana. You know, like, I like to incorporate humor. I feel like everyone needs a laugh in a show. There's a couple who arrives together, but in that inspection process is separated. I don't want to give too much away, but there may be a reunion. The kissing post on Ellis Island was a memorable place. The guards said that was such a wonderful memory of seeing people being reunited, because sometimes they were being reunited with family members they hadn't seen for years. So the kissing post, when you go to the Ellis Island Museum, is a really popular spot. So there's stories of reunion, separation, people seeking stardom. There were a lot of creatives who came through Ellis Island, like Bob Hope and Arthur Murray and Walt Disney. So there's that story of seeking opportunity and career and stardom. A mother who's bringing her daughter, she wants her daughter to have an opportunity. Annie Moore was the first immigrant to pass through Ellis Island, and she has a statue on Ellis Island, and so we tell that story as well.
And it was originally a man, right? And he said,
yes,
ladies first.
Yes. Yeah.
Annie Moore went first.
Yeah. She came with like her two brothers, and there was an Irish man in line, and he said, ladies first. And so Annie Moore was the first one to pass through, 15-year-old Irish girl.
As you explore the journey, what is your hope for the future of those seeking opportunity and freedom in this country?
I hope that everyone can have that opportunity. I thought this show was really important to put into perspective why people came here and what the country stands for. You know, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. I want people to think about the struggle and the journey and the life that people left behind to come here and why they came here, and hope that everyone can have that opportunity.
Monica's integrated a lot of text at the beginning of the show as to why each of these characters came, and all of them are seeking a better life with freedoms that they didn't have where they came from. Mm-hmm. And so we hope that people still can see the American dream as seeking a better life, and that that's still an opportunity here for people of all sorts of different backgrounds and classes and races and religions and ethnicities.
Melange Dance Company, artistic director and choreographer Monica Ordonez, and executive director and dancer Alexa Lambert. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Melange Dance Company presents Journey of Dreamers at the Art Club, 1941 Art Street. Performances are Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, 8 p.m. More info online at melangedanceofnola.com. The Ashe Cultural Arts Center is gearing up for a milestone jubilee in 2018. The nonprofit arts organization in Central City, co-founded by Carol B. Bell and the late Douglas Redd, will celebrate 20 years serving the community with programs, activities, and creative works focusing on the contributions of people of African descent. We traveled down memory lane with Ashe's community and cultural programs consultant, Luther Gray. Welcome back and congratulations.
Thank you, Diane.
There was great vision some 20 years ago for this neighborhood suffering from blight and neglect. What was it that attracted Ashe to Central City?
It was one of those Ashe moments, as we call it. The word Ashe is a Yoruba word that means so be it. It's a sacred word, like at the end of a prayer when you pray and then you say amen because you have faith, your prayer will be answered. That was an Ashe moment where Douglas Redd and Carol B. Bell created an exhibit called Efforts of Grace, and it had traveled to the World's Fair, which was in Atlanta that year, but they had nowhere to store it. Also, in New Orleans, many, many artist friends who were actors didn't have a place to do a play, or visual artists didn't have a place to have an exhibit. And so when they were presented an opportunity to rent for the first 6 months for free, as a matter of fact, of space on 1712 Loretta Kaiser Haley Boulevard, they jumped at the opportunity.
And how did they maintain hope that their ideas and goals for the neighborhood would one day manifest into what we see today as a thriving district?
Well, you know, artists always have visions and optimism, and they see treasure, what some might PC as junk. And I think they knew the history of the street, Dryad Street, which had been renamed Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard after the great civil rights leader. They knew that Central City had great history as well, so they saw it as an opportunity, as most artists do. They move into neighborhoods that are kind of down, and over time, they rejuvenate these neighborhoods and then lead to resurgences and revitalization, which has happened today on Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard.
Tell me more about Carol B. Bell and Douglas Redd.
They really had a great partnership. Douglas was an amazing visual artist. When you stepped into Jazz Fest at the fairgrounds and you went into the Congo Square area and you see these two big edifices, when you go through the entrances and the way the stage was adorned, that was his work. And when you saw the first Essence Festival, he created the logo. Everyone would go to Douglas for logos, or they needed something built, installed. He was that genius. And Carol, she was a poet and a wordsmith and a very accomplished grant writer. So the two of them coming together was a great partnership because she could write the grants to bring into reality the visions that Douglas Redd had often.
If you had to sum up some of the accomplishments, what would you say that Ashe is most proud of over the 20-year span?
When you speak to Carol B. Bell, she's so proud of the fact that from a very humble beginning of them not even really being able to like first afford the rent to 20 years later, owning the building that they live in, and even expanding to the Ashe Powerhouse, which is around the corner, 1731 Barone Street, to see how over the years, there's over 800 events going through Ashe, and they serve thousands of people, from young children to senior citizens, men, women, and everybody in between. The organization is most proud of their contributions to the community, not only creatively, but as well as community building.
There is a lot going on with Ashe. You guys now own three campuses. You're gearing up for your 20th anniversary celebration and a big tricentennial event. 2018 is going to be a big year.
You're telling me. You better take a breath. This is about to jump off.
How are you planning to celebrate?
We're going to kick off our year-long celebration with the Holiday on the Boulevard, which starts this Friday, December 15th and December 16th, a Saturday. We're having a play called The Origins of Life on Earth. It's one of our signature productions for children. It's going to be held at Loyola University's Roussel Auditorium at 10 a.m. 12 o'clock, we're having a community luncheon at the Ashe Powerhouse, 1731 Barone Street. It's free and open to the public, where Carol will give a kind of report to the community about what we've done over the last 12 years. And that evening, we're going to be showing the film I Am Not Your Negro, documented by James Baldwin, hosted by Kalama Yasalam. That's also free and open to the public. And then Saturday, December 16th, from noon to 6, we're going to have our marketplace. We have over 12 artists, vendors, and food. We have vegan food, desserts, gumbos, all kind of soul food. We've got great art, jewelry, a lot of things for children. We've got Santa Claus holiday hoedown. We've got Santa Claus photographs. We're also going to have our iconic Baba Kwanza and Mama Yeye, who are going to be doing African storytelling of the holiday spirit. It's going to be a great time.
And this all takes place at the Powerhouse?
At the Ashe Powerhouse, 1731 Barone Street, right at the intersection of Felicity and Barone Street.
Now let's take a look at the future and what you're planning beyond the Christmas season for Ashe.
We're going to be celebrating our 20th anniversary with a whole new look at the Ashe Cultural Arts Center on 1712 and 1724. It's presently under construction, and it's going to be a fabulous new presence in that building.
This is the building on Aretha Castle Haley?
Yes, it is. We're going to be joining the two sides together, taking down the walls. It's going to be a visitor center in the front of on the window spaces, along with our boutique. And, of course, we're going to have our spaces as well. After 20 years, we're really taking on a brand new look. All throughout the year, we're taking all of our signature plays and events and mounting them in new and special ways. So right there in January, we're having the Martin Luther King Weekend. We're really kicking off starting that Friday, I think it's January 12th, 2018, with our Cesar Chavez and Martin Luther King Jr. luncheon. That's always an inspiring event. The Sunday, we're having Lift Every Voice and Sing. And on Tuesday, we're bringing in Liz Wright, and we're working with the Kellogg Foundation and Truth and Healing Reconciliation. It was going to be a major free concert at the Mahalia Jackson Theater of the Performing Arts. And then things are just going to keep rolling on from there.
Ashe's Community and Cultural Programs Consultant, Luca Gray, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. Happy holidays.
And the same to you. The Ashe Cultural Arts Center will kick off its 20th anniversary celebrations at the annual Holiday on the Boulevard Open House Friday and Saturday at the Ashe Powerhouse, 1731 Barone Street. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45, when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack, wishing you a happy Hanukkah.